Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show, and Friday night it is, Saturday morning now on the East Coast. It's great to be with you guys, and we have so many exciting things happening. One of them, we're back on the air in the Phil Hendry Show returns to Sacramento, the great market of Sacramento, California, the capital of the Golden State.
That's Florida.
No, that ain't Florida, man. Florida's the Sunshine State.
I wonder why they don't call California the Sunshine State.
Oh, I got a great reason why they don't call California the Sunshine State. Because there hasn't been any sun around here, man, in months.
Well, I mean, you can't.
Yes, I can. There hasn't been any. Today and this past, today it's been hotter than hell, man. We're down at the, we're a block away from the sand and the ocean here at the El Pacifico, the international headquarters of the Phil Hendry Show. And there has been no sun, man, for a long time. It was cold. I got to tell you something. Like, last month, I thought about turning the heater on. I'd never done that in the summertime. Never. And last month, I thought, you know, it's cold in this place, man. I think I better turn the heater on. And today, it is a killer. If we can feel it down here, it in L.A., it must be like a scorcher.
Yeah, it says probably it's pretty hot. Well, how hot? I don't know, like 100 degrees or something?
That ain't hot, man. If they're talking about hot, it's got to be over 100.
Well, it's probably about 102 or 3, something like that. Generally, in the valley, it gets... Now, the rest of the country, you have heat waves, too. It's far worse.
How come it's hot, like, in North Dakota?
How come it's hot in North Dakota?
Yeah.
Because it gets hot in North Dakota, that's why.
Yeah, but then it snows.
I know, it gets hot in places that it snows.
Why not here?
It gets hot here and it don't snow here.
What?
You see the ring? I'm not turning the ring around, bud. When I hit you, there's going to be a dent right in your face.
Oh, I'm asking about why it's not hot.
It is hot. It's hotter than hell right now. And here in our studios at the El Pacifico, it's boiling hot. And the reason why is people ask me every summer, how come you always complain about the... Because we don't put any air on in this joint because we don't usually need it. In the studio, we don't usually need air conditioning because it is a... First of all, it's very loud. You have to soundproof the hell out of the place to get any direct air pouring in here. I don't need a whole bunch of noise because then it's you know, it's a bunch of technical bullcrap. Anyway, good of you guys to join us here on the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Now, President Barack Obama has talked about the U.S. obligation to act on Syria. Now, not that I'm all that... Not that I really am all that interested in it, because I've already made, you know, given my opinion on this, and that is, and it's a meaningless opinion, because it's the opinion of a talk show host, and there is nothing more meaningless in this world than a talk show host's opinion.
Phil, that is ridiculous. If your opinion is supposed to count, that's why people are listening.
Well, I don't know, man, you know.
Yeah, that's why they listen.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. It's very nice of you to say, but I don't think people listen just to hear my opinion, you know. I mean, it's in my opinion. Excuse me for saying that, if I may be so, if I may be coin a phrase or, you know, create a pun. I don't think they should. I think people should form their own opinions based upon
the opinions that they hear.
Right, but not necessarily a talk show host's opinion, because it is a meaningless opinion. I just feel that it is, and it's one that is. You know, there's far too many guys out there with these meaningless opinions. So, what do you want from me? Talk show hosts are a dime a dozen. We need to hear from the American people. We need to hear from the we need to hear from the people that matter, and those are the American people. And of course, I guess you might want to say they are the real people that count. Lloyd Bonafide is a longtime listener of our show. He's also a man who's a Korean War veteran, and he is joining us here from his home in Alhambra, California. Lloyd, when you see these difficult times that we're engaged in these days, when you see and you hear about America going through so many things that she went through, when you were a young man, and that you did go into uniform over, and that you did... you know, fight for this country over. How do you feel? Has America gotten better? Has it gotten worse?
Well, you know, Phil, it's a very interesting question. I was a Korean War veteran. I would say, on the whole, the country is about the same as it was when I was fighting, and meaning it's a great country. It was a great country then, and it's a great country now. The only area that I would agree with you on, and I don't mean that I disagree with you, Phil, but there's an area that I strongly agree with you on, and that is the area of the talk radio, the talk radio that I listen to and my wife listens to, and we listen to it religiously. We listen to the Elbow Peep Show. We listen to Jeff Bonaparte. We love your program. We love Mary Ellen Ritchie and the Dodd Brothers and Lorenzo Grafton, who is a wonderful and very educated man.
Now, what station are you listening to?
Well, we listen to a station called Cool Breeze 101, and it's out of San Bernardino.
And is this a talk station?
Well, it appears to be a talk station. They play music, but it's nothing that really distracts you because you're back into the talk programming, you know?
But they play records.
They seem to play records, yeah, but no one cares. And I don't mean that to be insulting, but I was listening to the who is that, honey? Jefferson Swenson. He's an African-American chap. He's very, very good, and he's on when most of the African-American talk show hosts are on.
Well, when is that?
Well, midnight to 6.
Well, that's not when most of them are on?
Well, that's... It started out as a pretty sick and disgusting joke, you know, midnight, you know? And now that's where...
No, I don't know, although I don't doubt that there is a high level of racism in radio like there is anywhere else, but I would... Larry Elder did Afternoon Drive. You know, there's a lot of... Ralph from Ben Hill, all these guys that I know are not necessarily overnight guys.
Well, the black hosts that I've heard and the ones that I really enjoy, the talk because I have bad insomnia and I can't sleep for days on end. There are some nights I wake up and I'm going through it, and I've been to the VA for this, but I can see a Chinese guy in a Jeep coming my way with a smile on his face, and that I just see that in my dreams. And I went to the VA for it, and they asked me the typical questions: had you seen Star Trek? And
you know, this Mr. Spock haircut thing.
Well, you know, I'm real sorry that it doesn't quite jibe with your reality, Phil.
Well, this is what I'm saying. You and the Mr. Spock haircut, and the next thing you know, you're seeing it in your dream, and it's a Chinese soldier, and it's Korea. I think it's your little subtle way of pushing a little racism in there.
No, it's not my little subtle way of anything. I'm telling you, I have to go to the VA because I've got traumatic and dramatic stress post-disorder.
It's, what is it called, dramatic?
Yes, it's called dramatic stress disorder.
No, it is not, sir.
Oh, you're telling me?
Yes, sir, it's post-traumatic stress disorder.
What? Who? There's not a man, there's not a swinging you-know-what that understands that. It would take every man and a couple of women, too, to even figure you out, let alone what you just said. And I will tell you this, Phil, I love my country, but the talk radio shows that I listen to are strictly from hunger.
All right, let's be back with Lloyd Bonafide as we talk about America today and then, and America's obligations around the world. What I want to get to here is a discussion of America's obligations in terms of her military commitment and whether or not this is a country that can afford the kinds of military engagement, some people might even say military adventures, that she has been involved in the past.
Why call she?
Because that's how you refer to your country, she. It's a very affectionate way, say she, her flag.
Well, I knew that about ships. I didn't know that about countries.
Well, the country ought to be a he, like a ship would be a she.
Yeah, well, no, they're all she, okay? Anyway, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, the country ought to be a he. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Lloyd Bonafide joining us from Alhambra, California. Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, Margaret Gray here in our panel this evening as we talk about President Obama. And today he made the statement that the U.S. has obligations as a world leader to act on Syria. And, if a Republican president had said that, I don't doubt that there would be almost a majority of Republicans that would be agreeing with that. Because it's Barack Obama, you know, he's leading the country into disaster. I mean, it's so disingenuous. I think people get really tired of the of the hypocrisy. I think the voters have had it, you know, and I think Washington is way, 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 you know, like jacked over, you know.
Well, that was really intelligent.
Well,
yeah, being jacked over.
All right, let me get on the line. Excuse me, I didn't mean to be so, you know, I didn't mean to dumb the show down. Lloyd on the line with us. Lloyd, how are you doing?
Phil, I'm doing good, and if you would allow me, I was making myself a banana protein. When I put in the banana, I heard Harvey Weinman mention banana, and I don't know anything about going after an old woman with a banana. That, to me, I would have killed that man.
Now, that was weird.
But I'm making... When I hit the blender, it means that you are losing control of the show, and the things you're saying it's... Will you allow me to do that?
What? What is he saying?
He's saying, Phil, that it may be your show, but a lot of the things you say bore people to tears.
Yes. And I want to alert you to that.
So this is another segment where we humiliate Phil.
Oh, come on, will you, for God's sake? I survived. You don't want me to say it, but I'm going to say it. I survived seeing a whole lot of guys with Mo Howard haircuts coming at me. And
I'm going to tell you something right now. No more Spock haircuts, no more Mo Howard, no bull haircut, nothing. Do you understand?
All right, fine. All right.
I'm sick and tired of listening to this kind of thing on this program. And,
I'm sorry, but I told you, you know, that hit the blender. And I did.
All right, so, U.S. President Obama, let's get into the nuts and bolts of this here. Our number is 855-500-7445. President Barack Obama says he recognizes the world and the U.S. are war-weary in the face of potential military action against Syria. Yes, we are. War-weary is a very good way of putting things. But, he says that the United States has an obligation as a leader in the world to hold countries accountable if they violate international norms. Obama says he has strong preference for multilateral action, but he says, quote, we don't want the world to be paralyzed. Obama's comments came as his administration made its intelligence case against the regime of Syrian President Bashar Assad for a chemical attack against civilians. Earlier this month, Secretary of State John Kerry said Friday that the U.S. knows the Syrian regime carefully prepared for days to launch a chemical weapons attack that killed 1,400 people. Why do the Syrians do that when they know full well that the world is going to see it and is going to react?
Well, because what they're doing is they're thumbing their noses at Uncle Sam. These people and these Arabs, they think their stuff... If ever there was a people put on the face of the earth that are begging for it, it's these Arabs. And I've never seen people that are asking for it. And, you know, you love to say when the guy says, you want $300 worth, every penny. Well, that the Arab, that's the guy who's already had his face beat in and beat in and beat in until it's just a big balloon face. And now he's going every penny. You know, the way the guy slobbered it? You know, Phil?
Yes, I know. God, I'm so sorry I ever brought that up.
Well, what, is it making you a little sick? Now you know what war is, boy. I'll tell you that.
Well, Lloyd, you're not actually saying that the Arab people are that way.
No, I'm not. I'm saying the Arab governments, because they don't care about their people. They'll throw them into a meat grinder, pretty as you please. And what are they doing? They're sitting in a tent. They're eating food from the plate, and the women, you know, you don't know about the Arab culture. I do. I've studied it. And the guys that run the countries down there sit on one leg, and the other leg is up. There's a plate with some kind of, I wouldn't touch it with your mouth, but it's some kind of food.
You don't need to be insulting, Lloyd. You know, he's talking about...
He's talking about traditional, like, North African food that they eat with their fingers.
Oh, hold on for a minute, okay? If you want to start talking about eating with your fingers, I'd watch my language if I were you. Who did that?
It was Bud.
Tell it to shut up.
Sorry, that was funny when you said...
you thought it was... I'm telling you, when you talk to me, be careful how you say they're eating it with their fingers, okay? Because when I was in Korea, I had a woman cheat on me, and it still hurts.
What's that got to do with the phrase eat... Well...
Yeah, uh-huh. just...
Lloyd, you make everything filthy. Do you know that?
You know, since you said it, sister, I'm going to have that embroidered on a doily. I'm going to have Marjorie embroider it on a doily, and it'll be in my living room because you said it. So I'm proud of that.
That's fine. You can be proud of being a pig, but I'm still saying it.
Fine. You keep saying it. That's one more doily for Marjorie. You're making that woman get... Did you hear what I said, honey? Yeah, a doily. It says, you're a filthy... I forget what she said. Just something about me being a pig. Were you already working on one? Great. Now, Phil...
All right, let's get back to the point here. So, the Arab, in your opinion...
Oh, hold on. Wait. Before we go any further, the Arab leader sits in a tent, and he has... If you've heard this... where's that music that I bought at the swap meet, honey? I don't have it, but it goes right... Have you ever heard that?
Yeah, I've heard that in every cartoon about Arabs that I've ever seen.
Oh, so you think I'm engaging in a stereotype, huh?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. What do you mean?
That's what they... Did you see this guy, Commander Hodafi? Or Commander God, what was his name? Commander Hodafi, yeah.
You're talking about Muammar Gaddafi.
Yeah, that's the guy. That guy sat in a tent. He wore a Bedouin tribesman bedsheet. He had a napkin on his head, or whatever they wear. Some of them use a bath mat, some use a bath towel, other guys wear a napkin, and some use a full towel. And
what are you talking about? Are you talking... The Arab countries right now, as they exist, you have Iraq, which is trying to push its way toward democracy. You have Lebanon, which in its own way has a parliamentary process that is very heavily influenced by the autocracy of the Arab countries. You have Syria, which is a straight-out fascist regime. You have the same thing that has existed for years in Egypt. They're trying to fight their way toward a democratic model. You've got another autocratic system in Saudi Arabia. This is a part of the world... that has been forced from its Bedouin tribal traditions in the course of two world wars into these sort of nation states. They had to cobble together all these tribes.
Well, that's the other thing about tribes. You know, I get real sick and tired of being told what to do by tribes. Now, tribes are tribes. They are collections of people, and the guy that leads them is on a horse, and they live in tents. And and the Western countries act as if these guys, that they've got the nuclear arsenal. You know, that they got a nuclear rocket shoved up one of their camels, you know what, and they don't have anything.
I think what it was, Lloyd, was an attempt to respect the people of that part of the world after they had lent their assistance in defeating Germany and Austria and the Turks in World War I. And they really didn't get what they wanted, so they started playing ball with Hitler.
Well, yeah. What does that tell you?
Well, but you don't understand the history of this whole thing.
So what are you trying to tell me, man? Because these people were hurt by the British, and they didn't do what they wanted them to do, so they played ball with Hitler, and now we're supposed to bend over and point to our own rear ends and hand the Vaseline back to this guy Assad, who's the weirdest-looking guy I ever saw in my... That guy has no chin. His head starts, it goes down to the neck... There's no difference between the neck and the head. And I wrote to my congressman, I talked to Mike Donnelly, who's also our assemblyman.
About what?
What's that?
About what?
About this guy that we're fighting that has basically a neck that turns into a head. Now, you know if...
All right, we'll be back with Lloyd Bonafide.
It's not time to break yet, Phil.
Well, okay, but I can't listen to that ass.
But what's he saying?
Well, he's saying what's basically true about the Arab people is that, yes, if you saw Lawrence of Arabia, they pretty much laid it out for you, that the British used the Arab tribes to help defeat the Turks. And they did not come through the way they should have for the Arab people. The British used them and then colonized them and dictated to them how things were going to go, and it was a bad thing. Now comes World War II. The last people they're going to trust are the British, because they know what happened when they did that. So along comes Hitler. And they got even dumber. The Arabs didn't make any decision that made them a smarter people. They made a decision that took them further down Dumb Boulevard. You know, and that was, you know, hanging with Adolfsky. He gets his ass kicked So it doesn't matter whether the Arabs are hanging with a guy that wins or loses, because they're always on the losing end. And so they line up with the Russians and the commies, and they get their asses handed to them that time, too.
Well, they are dumb, then.
No, they're not dumb. They just, every time they turn around and try to trust somebody from outside of their region, they wind up taking it in the shorts. And really what they have to do, man, is they got to start handling things for themselves. But do it in a moral way. Do it in a smart way. Do it in a friendly way. Do it in a way that the whole world gets an equal shot. Anybody screws with them, well, then they have some recourse. But they react in these crazy, pissed off ways. They get into bed with terrorists. Then they don't want to do that. Then they, you know...
What about the guy with that doesn't have a head?
He has a head. His neck turned it. We'll be right back. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show every night here till 10 o'clock on the El Pacifico and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And don't forget, we have a classic podcast available to you guys each and every day on the Sideshow Network. We have as well our daily show podcast that's available at philhenryshow.com. Just get a backstage pass, the classic podcast, the daily podcast, the daily videocast, 5,000 hours of show audio. As a matter of fact, we figured it out. It would take you 6 months of solid listening to get through our archives. That means not breaking for a bathroom, not breaking for food.
That means you can't eat and you can't go to the bathroom.
Exactly. Exactly.
Margaret would never be able to do it.
No, I wouldn't. Why would I want to? Why would I want to put myself through the torture of listening to you for 5,000 hours, not going to the bathroom?
Probably too much to do, huh?
Don't get smart.
All right. Well, the point being that with a backstage pass, you've got all of that and more. So check it out, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. We have with us Lloyd Bonafide as we continue talking about America in the modern era as opposed to when the country had come out of World War II. Lloyd is a Korean War veteran. Joining here now on our other newsmaker line is Dean Wheeler, a modern-day, you know, progressive. We've talked with Dean on these issues. How are you, Dean?
I'm very good, Phil. Before we launch into anything political, I wanted to... Dean, how are you? It's Lloyd Bonafide. Hey, Lloyd, it's great to talk to you. I haven't talked in a long time. I'm looking forward to it, my friend. Phil, I wanted to ask you, have you ever heard, because I was reminded of this, there's some very great products that you're advertising for men, male enhancement, male health.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Terry Ovine's Love Rocket? Terry Ovine's Love Rocket Fuel in the little green pill, have you heard of that?
I think maybe I've heard of it.
You have heard of that, Lloyd?
Yes, well,
have you heard of it, Phil?
Terry
Ovine's Love Rocket in the little green pill, or Terry Ovine's Love Rocket Fuel in the little green pill, or sometimes it's known as Terry Ovine's Love Pump, something like that.
No, I've never heard of it.
Never.
You know something, on second thought, I've never heard of it either.
Well, I have, and I'm so grateful that you advertise legitimate products on your program, because this thing, I took handfuls of this stuff when Emeralda and I were due to go on a cruise. And I was going to go to the doctor, and I was going to get the usual, well, you know, we run a holistic center here, and I do believe in the purification and the purity of the body. And so I decided I would go organic. I really believe in what Gypsy Boots used to say, don't panic, think organic.
Yeah.
And so, who was the guy? Gypsy Boots.
Tell you what, Lloyd, just let him finish, and then we're going to get back into our discussion.
All right. And so I went with this Mrs. Terry Ovine's Love Rocket and a little green pill, and I got into a panic, in fact, because I took the recommended amount was to take 3 before lovemaking, take another 3 a half hour into lovemaking, and you're good to go, you know, is what the guy said to me. I said, all right. Well, nothing, it was like the reverse. Not only did it not work, but I'm telling you, and I'm putting this the best way I can, it was smaller.
This was a sort of a male enhancement pill?
It wasn't sort of a male enhancement pill, it was. It doesn't sound like it to me, friend. You don't want me to say anything.
Hold on. Okay, so this thing was supposed to work the way, like, say, Viagra?
Yes, exactly. It was supposed to work like Viagra, and not only did it not work, but I looked in the mirror and I thought, my God, I can't. It's almost disappeared. And
you're kidding?
No. And I had Emeralda waiting in the cabin. We had it was our first night on the cruise. We had just danced the night away at the captain's table, and it was going to be the big night, you know. And she was in a flimsy looking. She had on something that I swear to God, it would make the guy that designs for Fredericks of Hollywood. It would make him hide with fear and shame if he ever saw what she was wearing.
Pretty hot, was it?
Yes, but we're talking about my wife's, and please have respect.
Okay, so the way it works, my understanding is that any male enhancement pill will work, but you have to be you have to be excited by the woman you're with.
Well, I am excited by Emeralda. I am. I love her.
You may love her, but are you, you know, turned on by her?
Well, I'm a man, Phil, and we're supposed to be. I could get turned on by a camel. I'm a man.
Hold the phone. Turned on by a camel.
Hold on for a minute, Lloyd. No, that's not how it works. Just because we're men doesn't necessarily mean that. You know, you can be with. Same thing happened to a friend of mine. This dude went out on a cruise with his wife. He took some kind of a pill. He said it didn't work, and I said, well, I didn't know, you know, and I started asking around. And they said, if you're not turned on, none of those pills will work.
Well, what about it going in reverse? That's the part that scares me.
Let me ask you, I'm sorry, I got to ask you something, Dean. Once it went in reverse and then the effects wore off, is it still small?
I think it is. I think it's still a good inch and a half smaller than it was.
I'm sorry.
Oh, man. I hope I don't run into...
I think he hung up on you, Phil.
No kidding. That is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Did you hear he issued a threat there?
What did he say?
He said he doesn't want to run into you on a cold, lonely night coming out of the sun or something. That didn't sound like a threat so much as a pickup. I think he was saying he'll, in a very hostile way, try to pick you up coming out of a sauna.
In a very hostile way.
Yeah.
No.
Well, that's what I heard.
I heard him say, I don't give a damn, you know, whatever he said. Dean, I'm sorry, pal, but, you know, you get what you pay for. Terry Ovine's Love Rocket.
In the little green pill, I was trying to look it up online. I've never heard of it. It sounds like someone was peddling it out of the trunk of a car. Isn't that what he said, Lloyd?
Well, he said, yeah. He said that he purchased it from a guy. He was at an AA meeting, and he got out of the AA meeting, and there were some guys with the trunk of their car open and a couple of flashlights. Well, naturally, Dean, being inquisitive, walked over there, and they were showing pairs of jeans. And Dean immediately recognized the stuff's hot because, you know, he's been to prison.
Right.
And they said, hey, you want to buy it? He says, well, you guys got hot. You know, it's hot. And they said, what about Terry Ovine's Love Rocket and the little green pill? And he said, what do you got? And they lifted one of the jean legs.
Well, what is this Terry Ovine? Is this stuff they're selling out of the trunk of a car?
Yeah, they're selling these two guys. He recognized these two guys as ex-cons right away because he said he recognized one of them from Plackerville.
What the hell is with Dean, man? I thought that guy has long ago been out of prison.
Well, yeah, but he was in. He was inside for a while. It was right after he beat up Emeralda. Remember that?
No, I don't remember that. I didn't know him then. I've only met Dean since he's cooled out and since he's become Mr. Holistic Yoga Buddhist.
Uh-huh. Okay, you go ahead and you buy that. You buy into that little fairy tale. I knew this guy when he was a bad man. He was bad.
All right, we got Dean back on the line with us. Dean, I'm sorry, Dean. I should have been a little bit kinder.
That's okay. I feel better now.
You knew him when he was bad.
I'm telling you. All I'm saying, Phil, is that I am really, really, I'm worried. Because when I took Mrs. Terry Ovine, I don't know who this bitch is, and I couldn't care less if she lived or died, but her pill has shrunk my penis. Okay, there? Is that fine? There. I said it.
Well, all right. If it is covered by the FDA, and if obviously there is a claim to be made, did you go to the doctor?
I went to the doctor, yeah, and he said to me, Dean, what do you want? And I said, I think my penis is about an inch and a half smaller than it was. And he said, well, Why do you think that, Dean? And he's looking at me like I came right out of a freak, right out of the carnival tent. He's looking at me like I drove...
Okay, I understand. He's looking at you weird.
Right, and so I said, isn't there a way you can track it? He says, no, Dean, we don't track the size of your penis. He said, we usually track weight. We usually track height when it comes to children. But penis size, no, we pretty much figure that stays the same. I said, well, I got a newsflash for you, Doc. No, it don't. And that's when he started to bring up my past. He said, aren't you the ex-con? And I said, yeah.
Why did he bring that up?
Well, he thinks that I'm nuts. He thinks that I was inside so long drinking that homebrew that I'm hallucinating my penis shrinking.
Did you tell him about this Terry Ovine?
Oh, no, I would never do that.
Why not, man? You got a concern about this stuff that may be harming you.
I can't. I bought it off these two guys. One of these guys from Folsom and another guy from Plankerville. Back when you were a real bad man, right? Uh-huh. Boy.
All right. Listen, gentlemen, thank you very, very much for your insight into President Obama and Syria. We talked about male enhancement drugs, prison, a guy's penis shrinking.
You never did get to Syria. I think that is... You've got to change that.
Yeah, somehow, Mr. Henry, you got to start talking about the stuff you say you will.
Yes, well, we'll work on that. Anyway, we'll be back here, 855-500-7445. A beautiful Friday night's going to get more beautiful, man, as the weekend proceeds here. And there is a saying that we live by here. You just said something you got to back up on. You're telling me a gumball machine isn't dangerous. You'll see that there on our website, philhenryshow.com. I don't know. It was just something that popped up there on the screen. Stick around. Final segment here of the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass at the digital headquarters of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And, Bud, you know what? You're going to do bumper music, man. Make that stuff kick-ass, will you?
But this is Nirvana!
I don't give a damn if it's Nirvana. I don't want this stuff coming in like it's, you know... Give me some rock and roll here, all right?
Well, God, Phil, Nirvana's rock and roll.
I don't want... I'm not knocking Nirvana. It's great music. I'm saying that we need a little ass-kicking music. That's all, okay? All right. Anyway, welcome back here. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. It's great to be with all of you guys. We do have coming up here a Labor Day weekend, and probably what we're going to want to do in the... What is this?
This kicks ass.
Well, don't be trying out your bumper. This kicks ass, Pat Benatar? Many times turn that off.
Well, maybe not. That don't kick ass, man. Are you nuts?
What is it with you, man? You used to listen to some really good music.
I don't know.
You're weird, man. I think your taste in music has gone straight downhill, man, right into the crapper. All right, so in any event, we do have a Labor Day weekend that's going to be coming up, and we're going to want to, of course, with a lot of you... Oh, yeah, this is fantastic, bud.
Ain't that kick-ass?
Stop experimenting with the bumper music. I got stuff I got to do. It sucks, and I'll show you what I mean when the show's done, okay?
Yeah.
Like I say, you used to know. What happened to the days when you had AC/DC, you had Metallica, you had Sirith Ungle standing in blood? You had some great stuff.
Well, I don't know.
Viper?
Yeah, man, what happened to your Viper CD? Viper? That's old hat. I'm moving on to more better things.
Yeah, uh-huh. What was that you just played?
One Republic.
One Republic? You know, you're getting worse. I mean, I wouldn't... Viper's not necessarily my first choice, but from Viper to... Oh, boy. All right, so it is a holiday weekend coming up. Don't play anymore, bud, okay? I don't want to hear you. It is the Labor Day weekend coming up and my birthday. And so this coming Monday, we will not be in studio. It will, in fact, be one of our best of. But we're going to still have our podcasts. We will have our classic podcast for you on Monday. So that'll be a lot of fun, and we certainly do hope that you guys will be sticking around for that. And join us throughout the weekend. Anytime you want something really cool to listen to, check us out at philhenryshow.com. Our podcast, by the way, you can hear on the Sideshow Network and the Bobby Dooley podcast, which is a very interesting podcast. Bobby Dooley, and she just did what, Margaret?
Well, she just did part two of her Henry Rollins.
Henry Rollins and Bobby got together. That is a scream. Bobby has interviewed such notables as Patty Arquette, Joel McHale, and Sugar Ray Leonard. And each one of these is unique in its just its weirdness. So also Craig Bierko, also Kevin Pollak, also Jimmy Pardo, right?
Jimmy Pardo, Rick Overton, two great comics. Just a lot of really, Jay Moore.
Jay Moore. That was one for the books, the Jay Moore Bobby Dooley podcast, when Jay threatened to kidnap Bobby, shove her face first down into the vinyl seats of a dirty cab, take her to Oakland to a motel, and have his way with her. That was a two-parter, too.
Yeah, a lot of two-parter on Bobby Dooley.
So you got to check out the Bobby Dooley podcast. That also is available at the Sideshow Network, as well as SoundCloud and wherever fine podcasts are heard. That's a great one. We also have philhenryradio.com. This is a website where you can go and listen to live streaming archived radio, and also get a list of all of our podcasts. Those are all there at philhenryradio.com. All right, so just kind of recapping the whole controversy about the spying, domestic spying. As you know, on the show, we often recap our first hour because we know that people are changing their listening. Recapping domestic spying, that the National Security Agency, that all of these different spy agencies are getting together and spying the American people. It was all kind of a Patriot Act. It was all part of the Patriot Act. And what are you guys doing anyway?
I'm looking for the alarm.
You gotta get the Bohr alarm out, because that was what they wanted us to do.
The Bohr alarm, huh? What's that?
That was the blender, right?
Yeah, every time you hear the blender...
Get out of here with that, will you? What do you mean, the Bohr alarm?
Man, you're talking about... Who cares, man? Nobody cared about that no more.
Well, I care about it, okay? I wanted to recap what was happening.
I'm sorry, but it went off.
I wanted to recap what was happening, and the...
Phil, we're not doing it.
Well, who put that in? I guess that's some kind of an automated thing, huh? All right, so...
Yeah, you got to get more exciting. Get more interesting.
What do you mean,
get more interesting? Or you're going to hear that? That's automated, Phil. I don't want to hear that in my... Oh, God, my God, would you come on and say something? Say something.
So anyway, I was born in... did you guys ever see... Get out of here with that!
I don't know. Pull a plug on it. Okay, man, here we go. I'm going to pull the plug. Yep.
Who installed that?
David.
Very, very nice to know that you got confidence in me, David. That's fantastic. Thank you very much. Unreal. Okay, the world-famous Phil Henry Show out here on the El Pacifico, where it is 8 billion degrees and getting hotter by the second. I want to thank all of our advertisers and our affiliates and our listeners. Again, my apologies, you guys, this evening for the muted speaker. Or rather, I should say the muted audio that that we dealt with. And I went into this whole rant about technical aspects and radio and technical support and stuff that you just don't want to hear. But if you really want to hear it, it was off air, and it's available on our podcast, on our videocast in the archives. And I don't necessarily go into those things just to, you know, just to be able to say, hey, listen to it on the videocast archive. But, hey, listen to it on the videocast archive, you know. So it's been one of those nights, and it has been one of those weeks, concluding the third week of reboot here of the world famous Phil Henry Show. And it's been a fantastic time, man.
Sorry.
To me, it's been a fantastic time getting the show back up and running and, back into everybody's homes. It's just been great. And, we really do appreciate that. We want you to be careful while you're driving this weekend. It is a holiday weekend, and as you know, traditionally here in the United States, holiday weekends often represent fatalities.
That is right. Everyone, please drive carefully. Don't text when you drive, because you heard the story that, Phil, a man lost his leg and a woman lost her leg. And before Bud says anything, and I don't think it's funny, Yes, the leg he lost was his, and the leg the woman lost...
Why are you saying that?
Because of this idiot here. The leg she lost was her leg, right?
No, it was his leg that she lost.
Are you trying to piss me off?
Look at Margaret. If you're worried about Bud, just never mind.
They lost their legs in an accident with a jackass that was texting, so please don't text and drive. And if you know that you're texting an individual that's driving, please stop, because that also is very, very dangerous.
Exactly. And it is, as we say, a holiday weekend, so these terrible tragedies often take place when we have a lot of people out on the road. Don't drink and drive. It's brutal. Did you see that? Did you guys see that video of, I think I talked about it. I don't know if I talked about it or if I had just if I had just talked about it on the pre-show. But there was a video cast of a group of people in a boat last year, Labor Day weekend. Did you see what happened to those jackballs?
Oh, those are the people where they hit the wake.
Yeah, these. I don't think that was because they were drunk either. They were just not paying attention, and it could have been just disastrous. They were in seven people in a boat. This guy hits the wake, and everybody gets thrown out of position. And so just be careful, okay? Have a ball. Be careful. Summer's not over yet, man. Three more weeks of summer. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. The number is 855-500-7445. philhenryshow.com as well. We'll see you guys on Tuesday. Have a beautiful weekend from the El Pacifico.